After laying the foundations of the Muslim society, what they should believe in and which direction they need to go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to set up that society for us. Allah says in ayah number 178, O you who have believed, prescribed for you is legal retribution for those murdered, the free for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. But whoever overlooks from his brother, meaning the killer, anything, meaning that if a person accepts compensation, payment, rather than execution, Allah says, then there should be a suitable follow-up and payment to him, meaning it should be paid to the deceased's heir or the legal representative with good conduct. This is an alleviation from your Lord and a mercy, but whoever transgresses after that will have a painful punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that one of the most important things a society needs is criminal law. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us the option of having a civil settlement and also waiving the capital punishment. Allah says, and there is for you in legal retribution saving of life. O you people of understanding, that you may become righteous. That means that capital punishment is actually a method of saving people's lives so that people will be deterred from this horrendous crime. Allah says, prescribe for you when death approaches any one of you, if he leaves wealth, is that he should make a bequest for the parents and near relatives according to what is reasonable, a duty upon the righteous. So the other thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains us with is to create a will. This ayah, however, has been abrogated even though its recitation has been left. In Surah An-Nisa, we will read, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually provided the bequest for all relatives according to the portions that he has assigned. Allah says in 181, then whoever alters it, that is the bequest, after he has heard it, the sin is only upon those who have altered it. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. But if one fears from the bequeather some error or sin and corrects that which is between them, meaning the concerned parties, there is no sin upon him. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you, that you may become righteous. Fasting for a limited number of days. So whoever among you is ill or on a journey during them, then an equal number of days are to be made up. And upon those who are able to fast but with hardship, a ransom as substitute of feeding a poor person each day. And whoever volunteers good, meaning excess, it is better for him. But to fast is best for you, if you only knew. This was one of the earlier injunctions for fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made fasting optional for people. If they felt that they could do it, they were encouraged to do it. If they felt that it was difficult for them, it was acceptable to skip them as long as they paid a fidya by feeding a poor person each day. And then the ayah of Ramadan, the comprehensive ayah about Ramadan and fasting and the Quran was revealed, which is the next ayah, ayah number 185. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah says the month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran. When was the Quran revealed? It was revealed on one of the odd nights, the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. In the night of power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the whole Quran down to the lowest heaven. And then from that lowest heaven, it was revealed upon the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a span of 23 years and was carried by Jibril alaihi salam. This is why the month of Ramadan is so special. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal the Quran during this month. And then, as a connection with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is guidance for you, and so you should fast in it. Allah says the month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever sights the new moon of the month, let him fast it, meaning that it is imperative to fast in this month because the Quran was revealed in this month. The fasting is connected with the Quran. When we stay hungry and we have less sleep and we are now diverted from our bodily requirements, this is when our soul can really partake of the nutrition that is provided by the Quran. The Quran is the rope of Allah. The Quran is the food for our soul. The Prophet ﷺ described it as such. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He's teaching us there is a direct connection between Quran and fasting. So during Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ would review the entire Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam. And the year that he passed away, that year in Ramadan, he reviewed it twice with Jibreel alayhi salam. And we need to do the same thing. Ramadan is the optimum time for reviewing the Quran, truly understanding the Quran, and infusing our souls with the Quran. May Allah make us benefit from that. Ameen. Allah says, so whoever sights a new moon of the month, let him fast it, and whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship and wants for you to complete the period. These are two very important points. It seems difficult to fast, right? Doesn't it? Allah makes it easy. However, Allah says, do not be afraid. This is not a means to make things difficult for you. In fact, as we progress along Ramadan, fasting becomes easier for us because our soul is enlightened. Our soul is now gaining strength with the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually making it easy for our soul. It is not a hardship for us. In fact, it eases a lot of our difficulties. Allah says and He wants us to complete that certain period. It is important to complete that period. That certain number of days are important for us to gain a spiritual high and to be elevated in our spirit, in our iman, and our taqwa. Allah says, and to magnify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful. Allah says that we need to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ تُكَبِّرُ, to extol the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that perhaps we are going to be grateful. Allah says, and when my servants ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me by obedience and believe in me that they may be rightly guided. It creates a closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and servants ask about me, where am I? I am very close to them. They ask me and I respond. So Allah says, so they should also respond to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Particularly Allah says, they will be guided to the right way if they answer me. How do we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By obeying Him. Allah says, it has been made permissible for you the night preceding fasting to go to your women for sexual relations. They are clothing for you and you are clothing for them. Allah knows that you used to deceive yourselves. Prior to this revelation, marital relations were unlawful during nights preceding fasting. Some were unable to refrain and secretly disobeyed. But they did not deceive Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightened their load. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, so He accepted your repentance and forgave you. So now have relations with them and seek that which Allah has decreed for you, meaning offspring. And eat and drink until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct to you from the black thread of night. Then complete the fast until the night, meaning sunset, and do not have relations with them as long as you are staying for worship in the mosques. These are the limits of Allah, so do not approach them. Thus does Allah make clear His verses, meaning ordinances, to the people that they may become righteous. So while a person is in itikaf, Allah says, وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. A person is not allowed to have sexual relations with his wife. Itikaf is also one of the sunnahs of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ used to do itikaf in the masjid during the last 10 days of Ramadan. And during that time in i'tikaf, a person is supposed to simply stay in the masjid, eat, sleep over there, and simply do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away from all other worldly concerns. The ulama say that if a person absolutely has to leave for some reason, for example, they cannot get off from work, then they are allowed to do that. Women also are allowed to do i'tikaf in the masjid because the Ummahatul Mu'mineen used to do i'tikaf in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ in his last year spent doing i'tikaf in the masjid for 20 days. So the sunnah way of doing i'tikaf is actually in the masjid. But a person can do nafil i'tikaf at home, or they can come to the masjid and simply make an intention for i'tikaf and sit for however long that they can. May Allah accept it from us. Ameen. I'tikaf is also a fard kafaya, meaning that someone from the community must do i'tikaf, otherwise everyone in the community is liable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "And do not consume one another's wealth unjustly, or send it in bribery to the rulers in order that they might aid you to consume a portion of the wealth of the people in sin, while you know it is unlawful." So it is forbidden in Islam to give bribery. Allah says, "They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the new moons. Say, they are measurements of time for the people and for Hajj, pilgrimage. And it is not righteousness to enter houses from the back, but righteousness is in one who fears Allah and enter houses from their doors and fear Allah that you may succeed." They had questions about the new moons because the Arabs used to have a lot of superstitions concerned with the moon, the phases of the moon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are there for the science of measurements. You have to measure time. You need to know what month it is, when the month has ended, and especially because we need to know when to perform Ramadan, when to do Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is not righteousness to have superstitions. For example, you think that you must enter your houses from the back once you have left for a pilgrimage or an important journey. This was a superstition that the kuffar also had. Pre-Islam, they used to think that if they had left their home for Hajj or for another journey, it was bad luck to enter the homes from the front doors. So Allah says that is not righteousness. Righteousness is what? وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. A person who has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter houses from their doors and fear Allah that you may succeed. So the true path to success is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being superstitious and following a made-up way of life. Allah says, "Fight in the way of Allah those who fight you, but do not commit aggression. Indeed, Allah does not like aggressors." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Muslims to fight in Medina. In Makkah, they were told not to fight because they were very few in number and they were weak. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to fight in self-defense and says that if they are attacking you, you can fight them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, is very strict with the believers. And he says, you may not exceed the limits. Allah says, and kill them wherever you overtake them, and expel them from wherever they have expelled you. And fitna is worse than killing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wherever you find them, it is allowed that you can kill them. And you can expel them because they have expelled you from Makkah and they have tried to kill you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fitna is worse than killing. What is fitna? Fitna means disbelief and imposing it upon others. The kuffar were not letting the Muslims accept Islam and follow Islam. So Allah says that this is worse than killing. Allah says you can fight them anywhere except Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Allah says, and do not fight them at Al-Masjid Al-Haram until they fight you there. But if they fight you, then kill them. Such is a recompense of the disbelievers. And if they cease, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Fight them. Fight them until there is no more fitna. What is fitna? Disbelief and its imposition on others. They used to impose disbelief on the Muslims. And they did not allow them, the Sahaba, to follow their religion in peace. So Allah says this is fitna, this is corruption. Fight them until there is no more fitna and until religion, that is worship, is acknowledged to be for Allah. But if they cease, then there is to be no aggression, Allah warns. except against the oppressors. Fighting in the sacred month is for aggression committed in the sacred month. There are four sacred months in Islam: Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. So Allah says, if they attack you, then you can respond. Allah says, and for all violations is legal retribution. So whoever has assaulted you, then assault him in the same way that he has assaulted you. And fear Allah, and know that Allah is with those who fear him. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing this to? Allah is talking to the believers. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. There are rules of engagement. The Prophet ﷺ forbade torture. The Prophet ﷺ forbade hurting women and children. The Prophet ﷺ forbade burning or destroying monasteries or temples. The Prophet ﷺ forbade cutting down of trees unnecessarily and killing animals without need. The Prophet ﷺ forbade mutilation of bodies. SubhanAllah, there are very strict rules of engagement, and the Muslims are enjoined to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if they do so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them victory. Allah then says, and spend in the way of Allah, and do not throw yourselves with your own hands into destruction by refraining, and do good. Indeed, Allah loves the doers of good. Any struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires money, it requires wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the Muslims many times to spend for the sake of Allah. Allah says, wa ahsinu, and go beyond what is required, do more than what is required. Ihsan, it's from husn, meaning beauty. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, Allah loves those who perform at the level of excellence. And complete the Hajj and Umrah for Allah. But if you are prevented, then offer what can be obtained with ease of sacrificial animals, and do not shave your heads until the sacrificial animal has reached its place of slaughter. And whoever among you is ill or has an ailment of the head making shaving necessary must offer a ransom of fasting 3 days, or charity or sacrifice. And when you are secure, then whoever performs Umrah during the Hajj months, followed by Hajj, offers what can be obtained with ease of sacrificial animals. And whoever cannot find or afford such an animal, then a fast of 3 days during Hajj, and of 7 when you have returned home. Those are 10 complete days. This is for those whose family is not in the area of Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and fear Allah and know that Allah is severe in penalty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now explaining our rituals to us. And one of the biggest rituals, the once-in-a-lifetime ritual, is Hajj. When a person performs Hajj, and if it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person returns as if they were a newborn baby, completely free of sin. Alhamdulillah. May Allah grant us that ability. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen, with His mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the injunctions of Hajj to make clear what are their rituals. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to do his one and only Hajj, he told the people, "People, take your rituals from me." So up until today, we do Hajj exactly in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did Hajj, the way his Sahaba did Hajj, the way they taught their students, who taught their students. May Allah bless them all. Ameen. Allah says Hajj is during well-known months. So whoever has made Hajj obligatory upon himself therein by entering the state of Ihram, there is to be for him no sexual relations and no disobedience and no disputing during Hajj. And whatever good you do, Allah knows it. And take provisions, but indeed the best provision is fear of Allah, and fear me, O you of understanding. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned fearing Him successively 3 times in these ayat. First, Allah mentioned fearing Him right after He mentioned fighting. In ayah number 194, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Be careful when you are in the middle of war. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to fear Him when we are performing Hajj. At the end of the next ayah, 196, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, fear Allah, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Know that Allah is very intense in retribution. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in the next ayah says at the end that the best provision that you can take for yourself is to take taqwa with you. Have your provisions ready. Pack your bags, take everything that you need. But the best and the most important thing that you take is the state of your heart, the fear that you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision that you can take is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Fear me, Allah says, O people of intellect. If you are smart, you will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم جعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين. In the next ayah, Allah says, there is no blame upon you for seeking the bounty from your Lord during Hajj. Meaning if you have business dealings, if you want to buy, if you want to sell, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Allah says, but when you depart from Arafat, Arafat is Hajj. If a person has landed in Arafat, then that is Hajj. The Hajj rituals are then complete. Allah says, but when you depart from Arafat, remember Allah at Al-Mashr al-Ahram. This is Muzdalifah. After a person leaves Arafat, which is the day of Hajj, before Maghrib, they leave for Muzdalifah. Allah says, don't just finish remembering me just because your Hajj is over. You need to continue to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and remember Him as He has guided you, for indeed you were before that among those astray. Then depart from the place from where all the people depart and ask forgiveness of Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So even after Hajj, continue to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is a possibility that a person did certain things during the rituals that were not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person might have talked loudly or been insulting to someone else, might have been impatient to someone else, and Allah does not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when you have completed your rites, remember Allah like your previous remembrance of your fathers, or with much greater remembrance. It was a tradition of the Arabs that after they did Hajj, they would sit down and just reminisce about their previous lives and their past, for example, and their families and their relatives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, instead of doing that, continue to remember me. Allah says, and among the people is he who says, our Lord, give us in this world, Rabbana atina fid dunya. Allah says, and he will have in the hereafter no share, because a person is only concerned about this dunya. All their du'as during and after Hajj are for success in this dunya alone. Allah says, but among them is he who says, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan, who says, O our Lord, give us in this world that which is good. Wal akhirati hasanatan, and give us the best in the next life as well. Wa qina adhaban nar, and save us, protect us from the punishment of the fire. Allah likes this dua. This dua is one that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to recite when he was doing tawaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ask for good in this world as well. But he wants us to ask for good in Akhirah, to have our goal as Akhirah. And note that three things are being asked in this dua. The first thing is the best in this dunya. The second thing is the best in hereafter. And the third thing is freedom from the punishment of hellfire. But isn't freedom from punishment of hellfire part of hereafter? Yes. So two-thirds of this dua are actually dedicated to Akhirah. Allah says, those will have a share of what they have earned, and Allah is swift in account. Allah will quickly give us what we desire. Allah says, and remember Allah during specific numbered days of Hajj, the days of Hajj, Ayyam al-Tashriq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember Allah during specific numbered days. Then whoever hastens his departure in 2 days, there is no sin upon him. And whoever delays until the third, there is no sin upon him. For him who fears Allah. The days mentioned here are the 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. And Allah says, and fear Allah and know that unto him you will be gathered. And of the people is he whose speech pleases you in worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to what is in his heart, yet he is the fiercest of opponents. And when he goes away, he strives throughout the land to cause corruption therein and destroys crops and animals, and Allah does not like corruption. Who is this person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example of an attitude. A person who is very impressive in this worldly life, a person who has great presence, someone who is very well known, someone who speaks really well, and whenever he speaks, people listen. Allah says he calls Allah to witness as to what is in his heart, meaning he swears by Allah that he is very sincere. Yet, Allah says that is not true, because he is the fiercest of opponents of Islam. Allah says, and when he goes away from you, from the believers, he strives throughout the land to cause corruption therein and destroy crops and animals. What does this mean? Your hard work, you have tried to set up a life for yourself, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he wants to destroy it. And Allah does not like corruption. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, when people catch on to what he's doing and they make him fear Allah and they want him to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so he would desist, Allah says pride in the sin takes hold of him. How dare you tell me that I should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah. Allah says, فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. Sufficient for him is hellfire, and how wretched is the resting place. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents a completely different example. He says, and of the people is he who sells himself, seeking means to the approval of Allah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. He sells himself, everything about him. He completely gives up for the sake of Allah. He changes himself around or herself around completely. And Allah is kind to his servants. It is narrated that this ayah is about Suhaib Rumi. Suhaib Rumi, when he was leaving Makkah, he had amassed a good deal of wealth through his business. So the kuffar stopped him and said, if you want to leave, that's fine, because he wanted to do hijrah to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the kuffar said, that's fine, but you must leave all of your wealth behind. He did, and he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, when he saw him, said twice, Suhaib has made a profitable transaction. Suhaib has made a profitable transaction. He did this simply to seek the pleasure of Allah. Allah says, Wallahu ra'ufum bil ibad. Allah is very affectionate and kind to his servants. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. O you who have believed, enter into Islam completely and perfectly, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Allah wants us to immerse ourselves completely in Islam. Allah doesn't want us to have some parts of ourselves outside of Islam and some parts of ourselves inside of Islam. It's as if you're in a pool, and some people will only dip their toes. Other people will dip themselves up to their waist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to completely immerse ourselves. Do not hold anything back. Because if you do, Allah says it is following the footsteps of Satan. Because this is what Shaitan wants. He might never stop us from entering Islam, but he will stop us from fulfilling the requirements of Islam completely. Allah says, indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. But if you slip, that is deviate, after clear proofs have come to you, then know that Allah is exalted in might. Allah can take retribution, and Allah is wise. Do they await but that Allah should come to them in covers of clouds and the angels as well, and the matter is then decided, and to Allah all matters are returned? Allah says, what are you waiting for? Why are you waiting to take the plunge? Allah says, ask the children of Israel how many a sign of evidence we have given them. And whoever exchanges the favor of Allah for disbelief after it has come to him, then indeed Allah is severe in penalty. Beautified for those who disbelieve is a life of this world, and they ridicule those who believe. you know, people who are following Islam, they're trying to change their lives. Other people make fun of them because they do not understand. Like the hypocrites. The hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, they would make fun of the Sahaba because they did not understand. Why? Because they felt that it is ridiculous to give up success in this dunya. Why should I stop selling alcohol? Because selling alcohol actually increases my income. Subhanallah. But people don't believe in Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beautified for those who just believe is a life of this world. And they ridicule those who believe. But those who fear Allah are above them on the day of resurrection. Allah says, do not fear. On the day of resurrection, the believers are going to be above those who disbelieve. The believers will be looking down upon the disbelievers. And Allah gives provision to whom He wills without account. And why is Allah mentioning this? Because in order to stay on Islam, a person might have to sacrifice money, wealth, power and status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but He will provide risk for you, so do not be afraid. Mankind was of one religion before their deviation. Then Allah sent the prophets as bringers of good tidings and warners, and sent down with them the scripture in truth to judge between the people concerning that in which they differed. And none differed over it, meaning the scripture, except those who were given it, after the clear proofs came to them. Why? Allah tells us. Out of jealous animosity among themselves. And Allah guided those who believed to the truth concerning that over which they had differed by His permission. And Allah guides whom He wills to a straight path. Or do you think that you will enter paradise while such trial has not yet come to you as came to those who passed on before you? Here's a question. Allah says, yes, it is difficult for you that people of the scripture have deviated and they insist that they are on the right path. And it bothers you that they are not accepting Islam. It bothers you that they see the truth and yet they talk negatively about Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a trial. This is a test. Mankind was of one religion. Allah has always sent Islam down to the prophets, through the prophets, to human beings. Only the Sharia, the different laws, were different from time to time according to the understanding of human beings at that particular time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people themselves differed. The Bani Israel deliberately did not believe in Isa alayhi salam and many of their other prophets. The people who followed Isa alayhi salam, they did not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the kuffar are doing the same thing. It's a simple jealousy. Allah says this is a trial. So you must know that you are not going to enter Jannah without a trial. Allah says this has happened to the people who have passed on before you. Next He says they were touched by poverty and hardship and were shaken until even their messenger and those who believed with them said, when is the help of Allah? Unquestionably, the help of Allah is near. They ask you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they should spend. Say, whatever you spend of good is to be for parents and relatives and orphans and the needy and the traveler. And whatever you do of good, indeed Allah is knowing of it. Fighting has been enjoined upon you while it is hateful to you. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you. And perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you. And Allah knows while you know not. So we cannot make decisions based upon our own preferences, because many times we will pick something that is bad for us, even though we love it and we prefer it. It seems appealing to us. And many times there are things that we don't like, but they are actually good for us. And this happens to us all the time in our daily lives. Look at children, look at medication. It doesn't taste good, but we have to give it to our children when they're ill. It's a simple concept, but sometimes adults forget that. We have to also accept the choices Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person should have wished to do jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said in meaning that a person who does not even have the desire to do jihad for the sake of Allah has died as a disbeliever. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fighting has been enjoined upon you while it is hateful to you, but perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you, and perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. And Allah knows while you know not. They ask you about the sacred months, about fighting in the sacred months. Say, fighting therein is a great sin, but averting people from the way of Allah and disbelief in Him and preventing access to Al-Masjid Al-Haram and the expulsion of its people therefrom are greater evil in the sight of Allah. And fitna, corruption, is greater than killing. Again, disbelief and the imposition of disbelief is greater than killing. Allah says, and they will continue to fight you until they turn you back from your religion if they are able. And whoever of you reverts from his religion to disbelief and dies while he is a disbeliever, for those their deeds have become worthless in this world and in the hereafter. And those are the companions of the fire, they will abide therein eternally. Indeed, those who have believed and those who have emigrated and fought in the cause of Allah, those expect the mercy of Allah, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. So who expects the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is people who have actually made an effort, people who have migrated. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Two things, people who have done either or both. People who have migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who have done jihad, truly struggled in the path of Allah. What is the path of Allah? To establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have struggled for His religion. They have made an effort. It has made them tired. They have to give up their resources, use their resources, divert their time and effort and money and abilities to establishing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. What about hijrah? The Prophet ﷺ said after the conquest of Makkah that there is no hijrah after that. But he did teach us that the best hijrah now is to leave sins. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. So Allah says that people who have done hijrah, people who have done jihad, or they want to do jihad, and this is something that they would love to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their life, their money, their wealth, their property, Allah says, it is those that expect the mercy of Allah. They have a right to expect the mercy of Allah, and Allah is forgiving and merciful.